Hello and welcome to Blockchain Gaming World episode 103. I'm your host, John Jordan, and joining me today is Vlad Penchenko from DMarket. How's it going, Vlad?
So far, so good. No luggage, lots of traveling, hello COVID, and so close to Christmas. How about you?
Cool. So as we normally do, it's good to sort of get an idea of sort of how you got into sort of crypto and blockchain. I mean, you've been in it for a long time, but can we get like a little history about how you ended up doing what you're doing in the world of blockchains and NFTs?
Well, there is a long story and short story. I'll tell you the long one, and then maybe you just cut it if it's too long. So it started it is what it is. I'm a geek myself, so on the one hand, I have a master's in history. On the other hand, I was always like overclocking my CPUs, PCs, and always looking what's new in high tech and etc. So when the blockchain and Bitcoin specifically started to happen, I was very curious, mining and etc. But started trading between different exchanges in the very early days, but lost everything I had when the Mt. Gox crashed. And that was probably 2014, I think. So after that, for a couple of years, I cooled down about crypto and what's happening. But then it picked up, I think. The first big thing for me was the ICO of Ethereum. And from that point, I started to read a lot of white papers, technical white papers, how it's going to work, because I started to understand that actually what I did all my life, like trading games, trading digital items from the games and the games in digital form, there is nothing suited best for that to scale that worldwide than the blockchain technology. So this is how I got there. But there was also a very funny point when for some time I was already reading those white papers and technicals and talking to different teams, investing my money. But still, that was like a hobby after work. But then I went to work and I was doing trading games, trading skins and all that kind of stuff and thinking how we can actually scale that. And I remember the day when I was like, wait a second. And then it all just connected. And this is how I got into building the market with the blockchain and with all unveiling it to the whole world.
Cool. Good. That's a good story. So, should we talk a little bit for people who don't know what DMarket is? I guess you sort of bridge the sort of pre-blockchain sort of skins trading kind of world and the blockchain world. So can you just give a sort of overview at the moment, sort of how DMarket works as a platform, what sort of stuff's on there and sort of your plan for the next sort of year or so?
Sure. I'm quite sure that very, very, very soon, maybe in the next couple of years, especially after Apple will deliver their augmented reality glasses, we will start to live in the meta world, something very close what we've seen in Matrix. It's so like step by step by step. In that meta world and maybe interconnected meta worlds or metaverses, somebody has to provide creation of items, trading of those items, moving them, and everything was connected about buying, creating, and trading items. So that's everything what DMarket was creating to do. And the main goal for me is to connect as many people and as many businesses to that model as quickly as possible. Because again, I'm quite sure we will, you, me, and most of our viewers will live in something very similar to Matrix. And I really want that to happen. So I'm doing actually as much as I can to make it quicker. And I honestly believe that the core, the spine of all virtual is actually virtual items ownership and trading. That's what we do for every other entertainment business on the planet.
Sure. And at the moment, the majority of your business is still sort of with those traditional skin sort of games, like CSGO and those sort of things. That's correct. Yeah.
This is how it all started.
Yeah.
This is how it all started. I really remember the day, the previous company, the website skins.cash, we developed an algorithm to predict prices for those items 6 months ahead. So then you can come to the website and immediately get money for your items, and then we will resell them for some profits in the next 6 months. Okay. So quickly that actually really skyrocketed for us.
Did it work? Did the algorithm work?
Yeah, of course. Well, believe me, there were lots of blood, sweat, and pixels, and we made our mistakes, but we still made more money than we made mistakes. And we scaled and scaled and learned and learned. But at that point, really, honestly, when I was doing it, I didn't expect that to be so powerful. So I did write a couple of, like, maybe 10 emails to our clients asking why. Why, like, it's 2000, I think it was 16. And you're trading items for thousands and tens of thousands of dollars and buying and selling them. Why? Why do you need them? And something was very familiar for us today, but was new for me at that time, that I remember the answer. The guy said that, look, I don't need, and I was very specific because I knew that he lives in some very far away city in Russia. And I was asking, look, for this kind of money, you can actually buy a car and, like, go to work with the car or have fun with it. He said, no, 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 no. Everything what I do in this world, I don't give a shit about it. So it's all just making money for living. But all my friends, all my fun, all my achievements, all of that is in CSGO. That's why I spend all my money there. I want to look cooler. I want to impress my friends. This is my social life. Mm-hmm. That was the moment when I understood we have to give that to every other person on the planet. Yeah. And this is why it all started with CSGO skins. And as you mentioned, it's a very funny story that lots of NFT things and how they're done, being done now, and they will be done very soon, is actually how Gabe Newell designed them and is doing already for so many years.
Yeah, and they're and then of course it's very funny then that Steam has sort of come out against NFTs. Well, it's been making money for the last 10 years off what we would probably argue is a much sort of worse sort of market, where basically people are trading centralized assets. So sort of ironic.
It's really ironic, but I totally understand, because I'm very familiar with the legal entity of Valve and how it works and how it can work and how they can't. Legally, they can't. Their business model is structured the way that the business brings billions and billions of dollars every year, but they just can't allow legally to NFTs to be traded. So, unfortunately. But it gives an opportunity for so many other businesses as ours and some of the other on the market as well. So, and they helped us to grow the generation of people who understand that virtual item can actually be so much valuable.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, do you think at some point Valve will have to accept NFT trading on Steam, because it just becomes so valuable? At the moment, they're leaving the market open to people like you guys, and maybe Epic Store as well.
Mathematically, from the standpoint of revenues, it would have to be proven that Valve can make at least like 6-7 billion net revenues in like 3 years, proven, and then they can shift the model. But again, this is like my thoughts from the standpoint how I know the legal entity of Valve and how it works. But I'm not sure it's going to happen in the foreseen future. If I was them, and somehow I just thought about it, I would just build another service, like another third party, and then build it out there, or buy it, or sell it, or somehow like this.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're right. I think it is, it can be hard to retrofit blockchain and NFT trading to existing systems, not just for legal reasons, but I think also for kind of your kind of user, your audience is used to a certain thing. And I at this point, I think it's also interesting that as well as you guys at Dmarket, there's also the blockchain guys at Wax, sort of very similar. So there's sort of, we have two companies with you and Wax who have both basically come out of a history of basically doing CSGO skin trading, and then both got into blockchain in quite a significant way. So it's sort of interesting that you know, as you've explained, the CSGO skins trading stuff is really, you know, was the sort of a stepping stone for lots of sort of companies and individuals into NFT stuff.
Mm-hmm. That is true. And by the way, just to add up to the previous question, one more very important thing, which is very also expensive. When you want to trade NFTs on a platform, and what is the big difference with CSGO skins and with Valve model, there is, it's called an open loop. So the closed loop is involved when I put money on the platform and I can't withdraw cash. I can't get it out. Mm. So that's a standard legal entity and financial entity. But at the moment, we open the loop, how we do it, for example, on Dmarket. You have to process all the money and the users with all the KYC, AML, and other like blah, 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 fintech stuff. And it's very expensive, very boring, and sometimes you just don't want to do that.
Yeah. No, that's true. That is a good point. Okay, so we're going to get on to now talking about Stalker, which is, I guess, is one of the sort of hot topics of the moment, and one of the reasons I thought it would be good to get you on the podcast now. I guess people who don't know, so Stalker 2 is a, you know, well, Stalker as a series is a very sort of a well-known open world shooter series from Ukrainian developer GSC World, the Game World. And Stalker 2 is coming out after many years in April, and about 2 weeks ago, start of December, they announced they were going to do NFTs, and they were doing it through Dmarket. So that was sort of the first big sort of game that you guys were supporting to do NFTs trading, and then there's this big backlash, and then a few days later they said not going to do NFTs anymore. So for you guys kind of sitting in there, obviously very excited to announce a really high quality AAA PC game doing NFTs with you, that's a big win for you guys. What did it feel like when they basically just said 2 days later, no, we're not doing it anymore?
I wasn't excited to get that information and the call, unfortunately they've been bullied by the community into that kind of a decision, but we've built the platform and we've built lots of things with Stalker, which are already being used by other games which are coming. Yeah. And the only thought I had when I understand what's coming is that the trading and NFTs in games, this is 100% of our future. Yeah. Unfortunately, it will happen without Stalker. It will still happen. And I'm telling you, man, it will happen in the next like year, to 2022. Yeah. We will see tens of games, some of them very AAA, with trading NFTs, with ownership, and etc. Unfortunately, the community and lots of people have been exposed to too much of scam in blockchain, crypto, and NFT, and that's why they're like enraged. Mm. Unfortunately, but this is what always happens with new technologies. If you remember the back days, like how Bitcoin was used with Silk Road and everything else, and how the press was talking about Bitcoin. And now look, there are countries, like legally countries in the world, who are using Bitcoin as a currency. So it just takes time. We will be there. I adore what Stalker does. So I'm a big fan of the game. I love them. And it just takes time. So and probably some, I'd say, good examples to be set in the industry. This is what was the plan with Stalker, and this is what is still the plan with Dmarket, and we have a number of clients to announce in the next year, and even a number of industries to announce who will be using our technology and NFTs to enhance the experience for the users.
Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think one of the issues was, as I sort of alluded to before, that, you know, basically, there's been a lot of sort of anticipation for Stalker 2 being the sort of finally the follow-up to this big game, and it's been in development for years, and they've not mentioned NFTs at all, and then sort of suddenly a few months before it comes out, they suddenly mentioned NFTs. So it wasn't maybe so much the NFTs, but you could see why there was a misalignment between what people felt this game was going to be about, and then suddenly this sort of, I mean, for us, I don't think it's a fairly big change, but some people kind of think it is. Think NFTs are, you know, a really big feature to add. Basically, for Stalker, they were just adding aesthetic. Effectively, they're just doing skins, weren't they? I mean, so it wasn't. There was no gameplay issues at all. There wasn't any pay to win. There wasn't. You weren't buying better guns. You were just buying, you know, sort of aesthetic skin type options. So do you think that was sort of? It was more like an educational sort of problem than anything else.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. As I just said, unfortunately, the most of the press about NFTs, regular user can see. It's usually about some scam or something is being like lost or stolen, etc. We have seen numerous of great projects from, I don't know, NBA Top Shot, and I know tens of people who are playing it, who are having fun of it, but the most of the crowd and most of the gamers, they feel two things. Number one, they're afraid of that somebody is going to scam them out. And number two, they're afraid that somebody is going to try to like take more money from them or like pay to win, as you just said. That's why everything we do and as a platform, we're putting it in a way that it doesn't change any game experience. It just enhances it.
Yeah.
So I'll give you like one of the examples, and it's going to be used afterwards because, as I said, every technology we built for Stalker, it was built as part of the platform. And as one of the clients told us that we're commodifying blockchain technologies. So, for example, if you're a game and the game is being launched very soon, and one of the plans was, for example, in the game you're running with a tattoo on your hand, even before the game is released, artists can draw those tattoos, drop them on a smart contract, and then users, using a simple metagame on the blockchain, can breed those tattoos. And some of them could be, for example, coming back very rare and radioactive. Some of them could be sometimes, and that's the holy grail, could be interoperable in some other games. And actually, that's one of like two main goals for me in the next year, aside from the business. But strategic ones would be to prove interoperability.
Okay.
Is that we can bring and we can show the cases when we bring much, much more value combined for games for using interoperable NFTs in them.
Yeah, the breeding tattoos thing just sounds really sort of fascinating because it clearly, for people who don't sort of care about it, clearly sort of you know, it's, think why would you sort of breed tattoos? But clearly the sort of rarity value, I guess, for those of us who've been in the NFT world for a bit, understand that you know, weird things happen, the randomness happens, and you can just, you know, some people end up not playing the game and just end up breeding tattoos. I mean, it seems bizarre, but
exactly. It's a meta game. It's artists. Yeah. It's IP. It's a beautiful world. So, and what I love in my job and the work I do is because first what I do it for myself. I'm a gamer. I'm a trader. I'm a blockchain enthusiast. And what I do to make it more beautiful and to have more fun. And this is what I like. And every time we do something and we see think about something, it's not about like instantly making money, taking them from people. No, it's to have fun. Because every time when we make fun, the rest works out as well.
That's a good point. I mean, and coming back to that, I guess the other interesting thing that was happening, and I guess kind of where Stalker was a bit unfortunate, was it announced, was it like sort of the week after Ubisoft had announced their NFT thing, and that obviously drove just everyone bananas because everyone loves to hate Ubisoft at the moment for all manner of reasons. But it was, I guess, what was interesting with the Ubisoft you know, announcement was, although it's sort of very sort of confusing how they're doing it, basically they're giving away NFTs for free. So that's sort of quite a different sort of model there, isn't it? Where, again, it's skins, it's aesthetic items, it doesn't change the gameplay, but basically you had to play the game a whole bunch and then you got these free things that then you could put on a marketplace and sell, which to me actually seems, I think that sort of is sensible because it stops the argument that, well, developers are just doing this to make more money off us, because basically what Ubisoft is doing is giving away stuff for free, just it happens to be on a blockchain. And I kind of, but obviously I don't know if that's something that Dmarket could do, you know, because obviously you're sort of a marketplace for trading things. I mean, do you think that the fact that people are selling stuff ahead of time is sort of the problem here, and maybe we need to rethink that a little bit?
I think we will build a better case and very soon with free-to-play games.
Okay, yeah.
Because I definitely agree with you that probably some of the hate was inflated because the game is premium and it's going to cost, by the way, a new standard amount of money. The new standard price is like $60 or $70. That's already a lot. And then they're like, oh, now they want to sell me and upsell me something else. So, but again, we're just in the very early days of development. And I remember that's for life when we just started Dmarket, and I was talking to the executive from Warner Brothers on, I think it was E3 and in 2017. And I said that the free-to-play and games with selling skins will make billions of dollars. That would be the standard. And they laughed in my face. And a year later, Fortnite happened. And he actually called me. And he said, sorry. And he said, what's next? So I'm 100% sure that NFTs will come into gaming. There is no better suited industry.
Yeah.
Let's just make it right. Too many things are right now, and I'm sorry for that as being a part of that industry, that too many things with NFTs are going like kind of sideways. But at the moment, we show that it's fun. It enhances the experience. Everything's going to be fine. We're just in so early days. It's like we're playing arcade machines, I don't know, like 30 years ago. And then you say, why it's still not Fortnite? Why it not, doesn't look like Battlefield? Give it some time.
Yeah. And in terms of kind of looking at marketplaces, there's quite a lot now of activity. I guess not so much on Ethereum because kind of OpenSea sort of cover that off to some degree. But we are seeing quite a lot of, sort of marketplaces kind of set up. So kind of Justin from Twitch is setting up his own sort of marketplace just for game sort of items. And there's kind of people kind of being more general on other blockchains and seeing a whole bunch of stuff on Solana at the moment. I mean, how do you see Dmarket kind of fitting into that? Because, I mean, Dmarket at the moment is very specifically for game items. And as far as I know, you're sort of you would be the specific marketplace for the games that are using you, whereas it seems like kind of the rest of the market is being a bit more sort of just going on open standard. So how did you see that working for as a general trend, and how does Dmarket kind of fit into that going forward?
As I just said, everything we do, we do for ourselves. We have over like 100 people working in the company, and half of the, if not more, we're trading gold in World of Warcraft. We're trading skins. Yeah. We're trading items in different online games. Everybody knows what we do and why we do it, for whom we do it. And everything we do for the gaming community and for the players. The only thing is that this is why we don't do art, and we probably will not do it very soon, and I don't have any plans of that.
Yeah.
I believe in utility, and I believe in geometrical rising price and demand for the items which have some utility value. That's why we're focused on games. It's just one more thing that I would like to gamify everything, from Twitch streams to OTT platforms, and because I like play games, so why don't I get some NFTs for watching Twitch and etc., and then voila, I can actually play the game with those NFTs. That's what we are doing and we're gonna do. But always I'm thinking about, if I'm getting something, how can I use it, how I can combine it, craft it. So utility and gaming, that's our thing.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
By the way, about the blockchains, it's an interesting question, because in the last couple of years, maybe every once a month, we spend a weekend with our blockchain team building different small, simple games on the blockchain.
Okay.
We just gather like on Sunday in the office, like six people, and we build different games. Simple ones like tanks or racing or etc. And recently, the only one game we were actually able to build and to work like 100% on the blockchain, not just writing the beginning and the end, but every other step to be written on the public blockchain was Polygon. Yeah. However, after we succeeded with that in October, Solana introduced smart contracts, and we successfully tried and tested something on Solana as well. So let's see. We're testing that just to integrate the technology into the market, so we can provide that to the game developers. Okay. But I'm happy to see that the tech is coming, because how I see it in my head, that being it Solana or Polygon, it's just like an operating system.
Yeah.
So at the moment it starts to work, creative people will come and deliver content. So it's happening.
Yeah. So in terms of kind of we're at the end of 2021, so I guess we have to sort of ask you some sort of questions about predictions for next year. So I guess we'll start with one with you guys. For this time next year, how many games do you think you'll be supporting on Dmarket? Where would you like to be at least?
My goal is 100 games.
100.
And my goal is we have the ways how to do that. We have integration with Xola. We have multiple partners already ongoing. And we already integrated with one OTT partner, and we're on the way to integrate with another one. And just one partner OTT can bring us like 50 million customers. So I hope to get two OTT customers by end of the year and 100 games. But my main thing is, and main goal from the standpoint of the product would be mass adoption. Because at the well, it's strange to say, but at the moment, like your mother and my mother, while, for example, watching a live show, will get a digital item on her phone, and she will clearly understand the value of it, why she needs it, why it's important, why it's more important than the phone, and she will be able to trade it, to buy it, to craft it, and that would be like easy left and right. That's what we need to do. That's that what helps everyone on the market. And I hope to get close to that by end of the next year.
You think in a year we could get to something that
something is already live. Yeah. We're just iterating it right now. And give me 12 months. That's a lot in blockchain. That's like three lifetimes. Believe me.
Yeah.
probably the only thing which wouldn't be helping next year is that most of the money printing will stop.
Yeah.
And that's not going to help neither the markets of crypto, neither the regular markets. But the projects who deliver the value will survive. And that's why I'm happy.
Yeah. We definitely had enough money printing. And in terms of kind of the wider industry, you know, do you think this time next year, you know, it will be sort of EA, Activision, you know, all those guys are gonna be having NFTs in some degree in their games? Or do you still think will that still take time? Because of sort of legal issues and all the sort of backlash stuff?
There are some clues. For example, on the last earnings call, I think it was Activision Blizzard, they mentioned that they embrace NFTs. Mm. I don't believe that top rank executives in a public company will say something like that, not building or partnering with someone with exactly the same technology. They're laying out the ground to make something public much sooner than like in the next year. That's my thought number one. Number two is that even Ubisoft, what they do now, it's not something what blockchain community is expecting. And they're receiving lots of backlash from blockchain community, from gamers, from everyone who's live. But again, give it time. So I believe that smart people laying the ground and iterating step by step by step by step. Who knows? In 12 months, we will have three games from Ubisoft where you will be able to use one same gun in three different games. Mm. And isn't that what we gamers want?
Good. No, and I think that's a really good way of asking. And in fact, you sort of framed the whole interview as being, you know, this is not about sort of weird geeks like us sort of imposing our weird technology on people. This is, you know, the reason that we believe this is going to work is because once gamers get over this sort of kind of weird terminology and they just sort of get this stuff, they just go, well, that's sort of these NFT things, they're just like game items, aren't they, that I can sell, you know? and how can that not be a better experience for them than having game items that they don't own and can't sell? I mean, you know, I guess we're on the same, singing from the same hymn sheet there.
There's one more thing which I wanted to share.
Go for it.
What I did realize not very long ago, and I just wanted to share so that, you know, we have it somewhere recorded, because I believe that this is what's going to happen. So more and more, let's say, also executives from Apple are saying that they're actually going to release the glasses, the augmented reality glasses, very soon. And what they say, that those glasses will be used for engineers, for hospitals, to help us like do better our work. Mark my word, the first billion will be made on selling digital items, changing how you look in the glasses of the other person.
Yeah.
So next time when I meet you on the street and you have like a nice parrot on your shoulder, and we will talk about that, and the next person to us, like without the glasses, will not even understand the content. Imagine the FOMO pressure on him on getting into that meta reality.
Yeah.
So I'm very, very excited. We're building something to be ready for that. But this is going to be probably one of the most interesting things happening in the next year.
Mm-hmm. And I guess we see that with Nike and Adidas both getting involved in the metaverse, and all the sort of luxury fashion brands being well into NFTs and all that sort of stuff. I mean, they sort of get that stuff natively. Lovely, good. Well, thank you very much, Vlad. That was a really fascinating chat. I hope you are. Hope you get your luggage tomorrow morning. Otherwise,
yeah, I hope as well. John, thank you very much for questions. And thanks to the audience who will be watching that. And Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, and Bitcoin go to $100,000.
Good job. Yes, thank you to people who are listening and watching in our various forms. Please subscribe on the various platforms. That's really great. And yes, Merry Christmas and Happy New Year. See you in 2022, when every week we will be talking to the people who are building out this crazy new world of blockchain gaming. Come along for the ride. See you then.
See you.
Very good. You can come back. You'll be